You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Almost our culture, current events, and Catholic things. We talk about that every day. The beginning of Lent as we step into Ash Wednesday here. Not a holy day of obligation, but oddly enough, the biggest mass attendance of the year. This is when everyone shows up. Oftentimes, even non-Catholics will show up to Mass because of either the interest and or fascination with Ash Wednesday, or perhaps they want to enter into this time of reflection in a very focused way. So we'll talk about Ash Wednesday and the interesting secular perspective that's out there in the, at least on one media platform, Vox. We'll talk about that. Big night last night for President Trump. 70% approval rating, at least of this speech. After watching this, hopefulness, optimism from 70% of those who viewed it. And I have to include myself in that. As I've said on Facebook, I include myself in that 70%. I saw a different side of the president. I saw what appeared to be a willingness to work with Congress. This is an address to Congress. And I've said this is the real kind of test of the presidency. It's who cares about crazy stuff he says, quite frankly. How does he get things done? Can he work with Congress in a bipartisan effort to make that happen? If the attitude we saw last night continues, I say yes, and we'll find out as time will tell. We'll talk about that. More to come. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Culture, current events, Catholic things. We talk about that every afternoon. Ash Wednesday beginning today. Of course, our 40 days of Lenten practice. Could be fasting. Could be other things. But I was impressed to see that Vox, which if you know anything about Vox, is kind of a trending, topical sort of website platform, a news aggregate that pulls in various other news items at times, and then actually does their own reporting and does their own investigations, I guess, and explorations. This, however, with a really what I think is just a very fair look at Lent and the history of Lent and going all the way back into Catholic history and Council of Nicaea and Orthodox Easter. They talk about the traditions and it's pretty amazing. And I gotta, this is what I think we need to applaud more of, is when people look and ask and say, what's up with that? And why are we doing that? And we see ourselves reflected in the mainstream media. And if you will say the secular media, I'm not sure that Vox is necessarily considered an actual mainstream platform, but at the same time, it's mainstream enough to show up in my Google News feed, but there's probably some degree of selection that I've made in that. Regardless, this is what I'm saying. When people look at us and explore and ask questions and want to know more, and especially this very, it's bizarre and fascinating, right? For anyone to do this thing on Ash Wednesday, it's just so, especially this day and age, out of the ordinary that it becomes remarkable. Right. Truly remarkable. There are those who remark about it. They want to ask questions. They want to know more. And oftentimes we as Catholics, because we're so close, and this can be of anyone with anything where we're so close that we really can't see. We really can't see it. We can't pull ourselves back and see that broader scope. Many times, cradle Catholics, the only explanation that they have is, well, it's just what we've always done. It's what we do. It's what my family does. It's the way we do things. I was raised in this. This is how it works. Rather than taking the time to maybe even remotely be able to explain, right, why we do what we do. And especially when it's something that is so completely fascinating and truly, as odd as it is, and I've always found it odd as a Catholic, especially as a Catholic, I find it odd. I found it odd as a non-Catholic, what's up with this Ash Wednesday thing, but then becoming Catholic and discovering that it is truly the biggest day of the year for Mass attendance, bigger than Christmas, bigger than Easter when it comes to the numbers that show up. How does that happen? Especially when it's not a holy day of obligation. So obviously some serious fascination with what we do with Ash Wednesday. And I think that it should tell us something, right? It should be an indicator that this is how evangelization works. Because what are we doing? You know, this isn't a time of high celebration like Christmas or Easter. And Fat Tuesday is only Fat Tuesday because of Ash Wednesday. Fat Tuesday is not a liturgical experience at all. It is a cultural phenomenon that has, of course, developed because of the next day being Ash Wednesday. But it is the most penitential day, if you will, certainly outwardly penitential day, that we experience in the entire calendar. And this atonement, this time of public witness to the fact that we are sinful, that we are broken, that we need some redemption, that we have to have some way of experiencing a resurrection at Easter time, this outward expression by having ashes placed on our head, which is as ancient a tradition as is religion, a public display of some sort of actual penitential experience, right? Ashes and sackcloth and all of this, as we know from the Old Testament. But it's interesting that this holds such a fascination. So I think it's important that we realize that there's something about in our humility, in our lowliness, in our willingness to be penitential, there's fascination in that. I think I think the evidence points that there's more fascination in this than even that of celebrating. And I think that in a broken world, in a society and culture where we are more than painfully aware of our brokenness, for there to be an expression of that, for there to be an opportunity of taking that brokenness and making it redemptive, that is a message that we don't spend enough time with that message, right? What do we spend time with? We spend time with maybe trying to show, maybe, I'm just throwing things out here, maybe trying to show that, you know, we got a great place of community, or we've got a great place of worship, or, hey, you know, we got this, I don't know, I'm thinking of my experiences over the years, so I'm not pointing to anyone, but from the evangelical church, from the Baptist church, evangelical church on into the Catholic church has been my trajectory of faith. You know, whatever it is, we've got the best potluck, we've got the best music, we've got the best fellowship, whatever. And maybe it's simpler than that. Right, we've got a place to come and simply be broken. And it's okay to be broken because we're all broken, right? We're not even trying to necessarily fix your brokenness, right? That's not the goal. The goal is just to be broken together. Let's all just be broken together. And I think there's a beauty in that understanding of saying, you know what? That's where we are. Lent for me this year, I've always held a fascination with Franciscan spirituality. I've been reading a lot from a particular Franciscan priest. And I think, as it appears now, that my fast is going to be as Franciscan as I possibly can make it. I did without realizing it, participated in a traditional Franciscan fast, because from All Saints Day to Christmas, I fasted through that time. Pretty strict fasting, pretty focused prayer time, a lot of time of writing and journaling and creativity and all of this that happened. And I'm really going to try to reflect through this time of Lent on my own brokenness. Right? I mean, that's something that I know I must embrace. I know I must embrace that. I must own that. And as a result of owning that, I have to then find redemption. I have to use that brokenness as Christ on the cross used the brokenness of his experience to redeem the world. Colossians 1:24 is pretty clear. Right? In our suffering, we make up for what is lacking in the cross of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Really? How can that even be? How can that even be? It can be because Jesus did it first and allowed that one experience to permeate all of eternity to the point that now, 2,000 plus years later, or whatever, yes, 2,000 plus, right? I guess. Yeah. Give or take, maybe a little less than 2,000 years. I think we'd have to be to 2,033 technically, right? But right at 2,000 years later, we still have that opportunity. We still can embrace it. We still can say this brokenness that we're experiencing, this cross that we are bearing, perhaps it can be redemptive because others see our resurrection, right? Others can see our dying and rising and pushing through, moving through with the grace, with only by the grace of God. It's not by our bootstraps. It's not by our sweat of our brow, even though the scripture talks about this being important when it comes to our own accounting of being part of this redemptive suffering. Yes, but it has to begin with grace. That initiation of grace, that grace which begins with the death, with the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Can we participate in that? Are we willing to walk around with a big black ash on our head saying, you know what, we're broken. We're broken. We need to be redeemed. We have to find a way somehow to experience that. That's what this is about to me. And then for others to see our admission of brokenness and as a result of that, move forward. Kind of like the Uber CEO, right? He was caught on this dash cam and not a real, I didn't think, heated, challenging experience, but he's willing to admit his brokenness. He's willing to go out there and apologize and say, you know what? I need to grow up. And that in and of itself has made news because he had this altercation, which really wasn't an altercation, I don't think. I mean, it was maybe somewhat heated conversation, but not even really that. But he's still admitting his brokenness, so good for him. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Good afternoon. We're back in Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Culture, current events, Catholic things, 50 minutes every afternoon. Well, if you saw the president's address last night, I think it would be hard to step away from this and say, well, that's the same old stuff we've heard the entire time. Although I'm hearing that today, and I understand, because if, you know, I'm not a liberal. I'm not just one to say, I'm going to take this tribe. I'm going to stay in this tribe, and this is where I am. Now, I'm an independent for a reason. My opinions, my perspectives, my ideals, my values are much broader than any particular party because I'm Catholic. And so I do hold some things that appear to be very liberally oriented: immigration, healthcare, just a couple of those. I would say education to some degree, depending on how you look at it. But then there are other areas where I'm more than seemingly conservative when it comes to things like the pro-life issue, when it comes to fiscal conservatism, when it comes to taxes. There's a lot of areas where I'm much more right-leaning, and it's because of my Catholic, it's because of what I believe as a Catholic that informs that. So while I've been critical, one of the main points of criticism has been this constant attack on the media, this what appears to be an erosion of the First Amendment, and the just kind of let's continue to discredit the Fourth Estate, as we call the media, those that hold the politicians in check. And I've never seen anything of this nature before, and it's been bothersome. I hope we're beyond that. I didn't hear it last night. Now, what I did hear, unless I mistook something, I heard a couple of things that I thought were really good. I heard the president say, we're going to work out a deal on immigration. I know he wants to build the wall. I know he wants to secure the borders. But if you heard me say yesterday, what I want to hear from this president is a path to citizenship for those who are here. Nancy Pelosi has said she's willing to work on anything if it includes that. That seems to be hinted at this point. It's not necessarily going to energize the base, but if the base gets the wall and gets the border sealed and we have a way to allow those who are here to find a way to remain here, at least that's some sort of a win-win. And I know that I've been critical of the president, and watching and reading and knowing him over the years, as I have through his writings, is that oftentimes there's an I win, you lose scenario. I don't think you can do that and get reelected. You're not going to do that very well, because you're going to basically eventually kind of inadvertently leave a path of wreckage. That path of wreckage behind you will never allow you to succeed. There are always going to be detractors from anyone doing something important. That is just how it is. You will never win them all. But if you are known for a I win, you lose mentality, that will catch up to you. So what I'm hoping is there's a win-win here. It seems to be the case. I want to believe that. Believe me. And I've been accused. I know I've been accused. Well, Leo, you don't want this president to succeed. You're just a liberal. And you'd know. No. I want this president to succeed, I assure you. I didn't vote for him. I voted for congressional seats that I felt like would hold him accountable to the policies that I want to see enacted. And I voted for two conservative congresspeople, a senator and a congressman, I should say, right? To be in those houses, to be in those chambers of Congress, House and Senate. Goodness, if I could talk, it would be in good shape. To hold this president accountable. And this was what I've been waiting for. Now, we'll see, time will tell, but I was waiting to see how is that attitude toward Congress going to be. Is he going to be adversarial to his own body of governance? Because he's got to work with these guys. And I know I've been critical, and I will criticize where it's necessary. I don't think President Obama did a great job with Congress. I don't think that he was great with reaching across the aisles when you've got massive legislation, sweeping legislation passed with absolutely no bipartisanship. There's something wrong with that. So are we going to see something that looks like comprehensive immigration reform that both parties can agree with? Let's hope so. Let's hope so. If this is an indication, if we're moving in that direction, that's what I want to see. Are we going to find a, as we've heard time and time again, repeal, replace, repeal, replace, repeal, replace Obamacare? Is that Obamacare replacement going to be satisfactory? Is Trump Care going to be the way it works to where both parties get on board and say we want to be behind this? Because Obamacare was not. It was passed with no bipartisan support. So what we have to look at now is it a dawning of a new era, which looks like a Reagan era, which looks like a Clinton era? Because what we saw under both of these presidents was amazing abilities to reach across the political aisles in order to get things done. They both did it effectively. And they both, those two, and who knows, time will tell if tides turn midterm or not, but they got the most work done with a House majority against them, right? Because Reagan had his Tip O'Neill days and Clinton had his Newt Gingrich days, and they were both able to move things forward. That to me is a sign of a pretty impressive presidency when you have that kind of bipartisan opportunity to really make change. Will we see that? I don't know. But I saw a president that was reserved, presidential. I saw him seemingly being willing to say, we will work on these things together. I saw Democrats stand and applaud. I was surprised. I thought, I totally thought we were going to have a complete boycott of response to this president from the Democrats. I thought they were totally willing to do that, just to sit on their hands, not applaud and not stand. We didn't see that. We saw times of bipartisan response that was very impressive. So, as I have said, and as I voted this way, and I believe this, and we will continue to watch where it goes, congressional momentum is where everything happens, because the president cannot just simply executive order, everything out the door. We have to have a true connection and collaboration, cooperation with both the House and the Senate to get things moving in the right direction. Are we headed there now? Did this make the change? Are you one of the 70%? Or are you remaining in the 30%? And I get that. If you're just politically inclined, if you're just politically entrenched, I guess I probably should say, to the point that that's where you are, that you're not willing to see beyond that, I get it. I understand. But after this address, it's kind of hard to really nitpick it. Right? And then our governor here in Kentucky, where we are, former governor, I should say, Steve Beshear, was the one who offered the opposition. And I wouldn't say twice specifically, but at least once Kentucky was referred to, with Governor Matt Bevin being mentioned. And then coal jobs. So kind of hard to be weighed down on this president after kind of getting the preferential treatment there when it comes to what was being talked about, effectively to say that this is important enough, especially this area of the country, to have some sort of real focus. So again, I don't want to be the guy that just keeps finding things to be upset about, right? I still question. I didn't know Putin. I've never met Putin. I know Putin. He did a Miss America pageant in 2013. Is that when it was? I think sometime over the past few years in Moscow. He's had dealings in Russia. There's no question about that. So don't say that Russia is not even in this equation, because it is. What that is still remains baffling to me. I don't know. I don't think we know, and I don't know when we'll know, but I know we don't know. But that's not going to put me in a position to say I can't trust anything this guy says, or he's completely He's lost all credibility with me. I've never said that. I've asked questions. What's happening? I think he's lying. Or he's forgotten what the heck he said before and is just rolling something else out of his head. I don't know. But those who've been critical of the president and said, well, these are just words, I could understand that, sympathize with that, and at the same time say, well, they're the best words I've heard yet. And I'm at least willing, as I have been from the beginning, to back up what I've said all along and say, I will give this guy the benefit of the doubt. I want our country to succeed, therefore I want our president to succeed. Anything less would be a little bit crazy. Oh, and the other thing is that he did mention the Muslims who have been targeted by ISIS. I appreciate that, right? He clearly delineated that this is a Islamic terrorist thing, not Islam, not all Muslims. So that was good. So I heard what I wanted to hear. I know not everyone did, but that was at least a step in the right direction for me. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, culture, current events, Catholic stuff, Catholic things, whatever you want to call it, dabbling in the Catholic world. As really a world view, a mindset. How do we see things here? Right. I think that that's important, and that's kind of what we've been talking about this afternoon in light of this presidential address last night. And I still see many who are entrenched, digging their heels into, you know, just opposition, opposition. I get it, but we're not going to get anywhere with that. And, you know, resistance, holding this kind of grudge-like mentality. And of course, the new thing is the whole butthurt, right? People want to talk about that. Snowflakes, libtards, you hear all of that. And, you know, I just want to say, let's stop that, right? Let's stop that. If you're a conservative and all you want to do is talk about everybody else's problem with the problem, right? Because the problem with the problem becomes a bigger problem ultimately anyway. So if you're a conservative, stop that. Just stop it. Just stop saying that liberals are snowflakes or libtards or butthurt or whatever you want. Just support your president. Just be positive. Just move forward and let's go on. Because here's the thing. If there's one thing I want to accomplish this Lent, it's I want to eliminate the negativity. Again, we got to hold accountable those areas that must be held accountable if human dignity is compromised. No question. You're not going to see me changing on that. But to be negative, simply to be negative, I really want to avoid that because we get enough negativity. We don't need more. I don't need to contribute to that. That will do no one any good if I contribute to that. And, you know, and I've seen it already today on Facebook, because I've been very outspoken in the last 24 hours about what I saw last night. And it may sound like a little bit of different rhetoric, and I get that. But for me, it's not about me changing my tune. It's about me simply saying, okay, well, there's some things that could potentially be satisfactory here. Let's acknowledge that. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging it. And then, of course, we've got this rampant other side of the equation that just wants to nitpick everything, like Kellyanne Conway's got her feet on the sofa in the Oval Office. Who cares, right? It's disrespectful because she's taking a picture of people. And she's got her feet. What? She was apparently trying to get the angle of a shot, and it seemed to make sense to do what she was doing. And I don't care how people sit on a sofa. Really? That's the craziest of craze. Why would we care? This is not something that we need to get. It's a sofa. It's not an artifact. Is it an artifact? Is it protected? Is it, you know, on the registry of historical artifacts that should never be touched or looked at and kept behind glass because of some historical significance? I don't think so. It's a couch. Right? It's a couch in the Oval Office. I am all okay with being concerned about things like Kellyanne Conway saying that Sean Spicer was referring to alternative facts. We need to question that because that's crazy. Alternative facts, what does that mean? We've got to hold that to some degree of question. But then just to assume that she's evil and everything about her is bad, and therefore if she sits on a couch in the wrong way, then we got to criticize that. But that's where we are. And unfortunately, we've lost sight of important stuff, and now we start focusing on the insignificant. We lose credibility. You will lose credibility doing that. And I know that there are those who've questioned my motives and thought that I'd kind of ventured into La La Land because, and not that I've seen La La Land to even really know what La La Land is. It's something I've always said. Now, an almost Academy Award winning movie for Best Picture. But I digress. I realize where we can go at times with our attitudes. And I realize that we can get way out of proportion. What I'm praying for in this Lent is proportionality, is to really find a balance. And, you know, I kind of, my balance, unfortunately, generally comes from extreme swings, right? I'll be all over there, and then I'll be back over here, and I'll have this kind of crazy swing experience that maybe looks like balance because I'll come back around. That's no way to have any kind of credibility in anything that we do. And I do not want to do that. What I want to do is find a virtuous path that says this is truly prudent. This is truly temperate, right? This is appropriate response to the appropriate situation. Nothing out of sorts here. There's nothing extreme. There's nothing that looks like something that shouldn't be. This is where it needs to be. Appropriate. And I think that there's something about having that type of reality, right? Because that's a reality. Because generally what we do, we find ourselves in a unreality, a disproportionality, because we're just scared, right, of things that aren't happening. Case in point, this morning, my kids get up, my 9-year-old freaking out about the weather, and I know we had bad weather today, and pray for those who've lost lives over the past 24 hours in tornadoes, because that happened. But so scared to go to school because we had thunderstorms in the area. And that's understandable of a 9-year-old. I had weather phobia as a kid, but I actually experienced a very nasty storm when I was about 4 years old. That was, I'm sorry, what was I? 74, it was six. I was 6 years old at the time. Forgive me. But it was a real deal, right? We had softball size hail falling, and we had massive tornadoes all around. It was the historic outbreak of 1974, April 4th, where the meteorological balance just went haywire, and we saw the craziest weather on that one day. And I was a kid huddled in the basement while windows literally were breaking out of our house because of huge hail and wind and a roar like a freight train of the tornado that was moving through that fortunately didn't take our house, but came very close. So I know what that phobia is like. But at the same time, I also know that as an adult, we don't have to have that kind of reaction. And we can kind of weigh things out. We can kind of move through this methodically and ask, is it really something we have to get freaked out about? Because I don't know. I don't think so. I think in the grand scheme of things, we're probably disproportionate in our reaction here. So I think, I guess, as I look at Lent, there's a couple of things I want to have. One, appropriate responses to anything. Balanced, virtuous. I want to find that. I want to make sure that that is happening. And as a result, I want to maintain credibility and maybe even rebuild credibility in ways that I need to, because perhaps there have been those who have thought that I've been too extreme. Passion is good, right? Being passionate about what you believe in, and having that type of enthusiasm and that type of burning desire to achieve justice is good. But even then, it has to be proportionate. Because if all we're doing is outrage because this is Trump related and, well, Kellyanne Conway was taking a picture of Donald Trump and she's got her feet on the couch. Crazy, right? Can we see the craziness in that? We're a little bit off the mark. Now, if the president last night had come forward and not acknowledged the hate crime in Kansas, had not said that this anti-Semitism has to stop, or if he had not said Muslims are victims too, and we've got to respect that and realize that, if those things had not been said, which were, then maybe we would have issue today. And maybe we would have outrage. I would be outraged. I would be. I would be calling to task this administration once again and saying, why is this happening? How have we not gotten any further than this? But as one who is focused primarily and essentially exclusively on human dignity concerns, for me to see what I saw last night, I'm in a different place. I'm in a completely different place. So, conservatives, please don't attack your liberal friends. Don't call them names. There's no reason for that. They're not necessarily going to settle into this. Don't make the whole thing worse. If you're one who is experiencing Lent walking through Lent with a practicing Lent, I guess I should say, maybe think about that. Maybe stop that. See what happens. Stop the snowflake, the butt hurt, the libtard. Just stop that. Just stop that stuff. All right? That's all we have time for this afternoon. Thank you for listening. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.